Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
What is the number one problem with the Lakers right now?
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
LeBron James is the reason that the Lakers aren't good. I'm telling you. The Lakers aren't good with LeBron James or without him. And when he came back, everybody thought the magical, oh, LeBron's back, everything's going to be fine. And that just hasn't been the case because LeBron's been back for these games that they're losing. And if you watched LeBron last night, Chris Broussard, I don't care about that phony triple-double he had. And that's where those stats sometimes don't tell the whole story.
But it tells a lot. 28, 16, and 11.
Nice.
Two turnovers, three steals. I mean, what? He had some problems. Don't get me wrong.
He didn't play defense, a lick of defense, and people are running by him.
Anymore.
He can't guard anybody.
He missed some layups. He had trouble finishing.
And Chris, here's the other part.
But don't act like he didn't play decently.
Here's the other part. When your main guy's not playing defense, it's hard for you to look and ask the other guys to dig in and pull their sleeves up and play defense. Would you agree with that? When he ain't
doing it?
I'm not saying he's got to be like he was 24
right,
or something like that, but there's no effort or very little. And the body language I also saw wasn't good. I could be reading into it, but I just didn't get a sense.
You're not the only one. In fact, in Brad Turner's story, there was talk about his poor body language. And you could see it at times.
Am I right?
Yeah. Here's the problem. You're saying he's the number one problem.
No, only because we know what they are without LeBron. Last night was a perfect example. In years gone by, LeBron would eat up a team and get that team put away, right? I'm talking about the Atlanta Hawks. He had
not
to play
so much.
He had
though.
To play 43 minutes. He put up all those numbers. That's not good enough. It tells you about the team.
Different.
It's not good enough.
Remember, Rob, his last, well, really, you could even say his 4 years in Cleveland. Drama laden. Every single season, there was a crisis. First, it was David Blatt. And then Kevin Love, and then Kyrie. I may be mixing up the order, but you know, and then Ty Lue.
I get it.
Like, there, and not last year, the earth was crumbling around the cat. Oh my gosh, they're the fourth seed. What is going on? This is par for the course with LeBron James. He is the king, but he's the drama king as well. And to say he's the number one problem, though. Remember, you're being, and don't interrupt me, you're being a prisoner of the moment.
Nah.
LeBron has been back for what, four games?
No.
Five out of the last six he's played.
Right.
And
they're 2-3,
right,
2-4 in those
are.
Games.
And he doesn't look, I don't know if he's not 100%, I don't know if his age, whatever, he doesn't look like himself. Now, if he plays the last 25 games, like he's played these last five or six, I don't care what the numbers say, then we're going to have to start saying, you know what, Father Time is really beginning to catch
it. I'm being honest when I look at him.
No, I get it.
I just don't look at the same guy.
Here's the thing, though, and I'm trying to have a rational, you know, conversation with you because I get it. The last five or six games, I get it. But when early in the season, it wasn't that early. It was close to midway through the season, Christmas Day. They're the fourth seed. They're 20-14, six games over 500, and they beat the Golden State Warriors. I'm just saying that's the last time this team was healthy. And so you can't tell me LeBron hasn't had an impact. Now, he missed 17 games. They go 6-12 or 6-11.
They were 6-12.
And you said it.
I said it.
They were blowing it without him. But to put that on him?
No, but now that he's back is my thing.
It's taking a little while to get the bearings. And I'm with you. If 3 weeks into the return, you know, when we get back from All-Star break, this is still going on. I still wouldn't say he's the number one problem, but he's going to have to take some blame.
But he's the guy that they needed. Okay, LeBron's coming back. You know, we're gonna right this ship, and LeBron's going to help us start winning. And they go to Indiana and get blown out. They go to Philadelphia. I'm not saying, Chris, that they were going to win those games, but the effort and the points allowed and the lack of defense, nobody protecting the rim and the lane. I'm just like, what is this? And then here's a game. You won the Celtics game. You lose the Philadelphia game, right? And then you need a bounce back game. Here it is. The schedule's perfect. It's written for you. Here are the Atlanta Hawks waiting for you. All you need to do is go and put the hammer down early. Let the Hawks know that you're not winning. Don't even get the idea. Put the hammer down. Let LeBron rest and play 30 minutes, 32 minutes, 33 minutes, Chris, and not 43 minutes. And put up all those numbers, and it still resulted in an L. That you can't have.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I think this is another mistake by John Elway. All he's done is mishandle the quarterback situation. Yes, he got Peyton Manning.
They only got him a Super Bowl.
Well, the defense got him a Super Bowl.
Did they win the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning?
But it wasn't. Peyton Manning was done when they won that Super Bowl.
He was great his first
year
there.
And here's Flacco on his last 25 starts. This is why Baltimore let a Super Bowl winning quarterback go. On his last 25 starts over the last two seasons, the Ravens ranked 27th in the red zone percentage and 30th in yards per play. Only the Cardinals and Bills rank worse than Baltimore. In the same time frame, Flacco has completed 35.8% of his deep passes, ranking 34th out of 38 passers who qualify. He's finished. There's a reason that
he's only 34 years old.
It doesn't matter. Look at the numbers. He's not the same guy. That's why that they made the change. Their whole season turned around when they decided to bench Joe Flacco. Now, if they really feel like Case Keenum can't do it, and they want to give Joe Flacco a try. I'm just saying. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with trying to do something. But Flacco, to me, Chris, and unless he has some sort of rebirth, I'm going by the numbers over the last 2 years, have been horrible. That's why Baltimore is like, you could take him no matter what. John Elway's had a terrible record for being a great quarterback, but as far as picking quarterbacks for his team. Along with what I said, signing Peyton Manning worked out. Brock Osweiler, he drafted him.
What are you reading?
No, I'm giving you the rundown. Because I want to get it right. Trevor Siemian, he had him. Paxton Lynch, he got him, drafted him. And then he signed Case Keenum to a two-year, $36 million contract. So the bottom line.
Who wrote that for you?
No, this is what's called research.
All right.
So the bottom line of it is he just hasn't done a good job.
I agree.
That's why
I agree. And I do not think Joe Flacco is the answer. He's not the answer. He's not their long-term quarterback unless, as you said, he has some type of rebirth. But all I'm saying is I think he's an upgrade over Case Keenum. Not a huge one, but an upgrade. So they gave up a fourth-round pick. They have two of them. They have two of them.
I don't care about the pick.
And I think they still, like, they've got the 10th pick in this draft. They still could choose a quarterback in this draft to be their guy of the future. So I'm just saying I think it's an upgrade. You're right. Joe Flacco hasn't been great. He did lose his job to Lamar Jackson, who really can't throw.
Can I give you a couple more numbers? This is the last 2 years when you talk about Joe Flacco and Case Keenum. Who had the higher percentage of
completion
rate?
I saw the same numbers you saw.
Right. So you said that he was better.
I'll give you one number.
He had a lower quarterback
rating.
I'll give
you one number. Joe Flacco's QBR was better than Case Keenum's over the last 2 years.
How about his quarterback rating?
It was better
rating
than Eli Manning's. It was better than Ryan Tannehill, which isn't saying a ton. It's better than Derek Carr's.
I'm telling you.
So QBR was better. And again, I'm not saying he is the magic elixir. All I'm saying is he's an upgrade over Case. Remember, when Case had that great year that everybody loves him for in Minnesota, he was throwing to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. He had a better receivers now, better receivers than Flacco had. So that is a part. That's the context. When did Flacco have really his last great year? Was under Gary Kubiak in Baltimore, and they're gonna run a similar offense in Denver, the West Coast system, which Kubiak runs or ran when Flacco had a good season in 2014. I'm sure all of that is in their thinking. And I'm with you, Rob. This is not something where you should be dancing on in the streets.
I don't think anybody in Denver is
right,
dancing.
Right, you shouldn't.
Like, oh, my God, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
No. But what was going to get them the Super Bowl?
No, I'm just saying.
And I'm with you. I can't believe that they're thinking we're set for the next 5 years.
No, this is stopgap.
Right.
This
it's stopgap. And Case Keenum was stopgap. You're right. They've been bad with QBs.
And John Elway, you would think a guy who played the position, but it doesn't always work out that way.
I mean, look, Michael Jordan has had some bad drafts in the NBA.
Kwame Brown.
LeBron, you always joke he's the worst GM in the NBA. Well, look, LeBron was involved in putting together this Lakers team. Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, you know.
So you got to check. It hasn't worked out.
Right. More often than not, great players don't make great evaluators. Now, Jerry West obviously is an exception, and there are a few
exceptions. There's a couple others, right.
But more often than not, it doesn't work out that way. And, yeah, Elway hasn't done a great job with it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We bring in our main man, NBA champion, FS1 NBA analyst, the one and only Eddie House. What's happening, brother?
Eddie!
What's going on, brothers? How y'all feeling, man?
We're great. We're doing better than the Lakers, I tell you that.
And I got my chest stuck out.
All right, look, we've been debating. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. What say you?
I'll tell you what. March is a hell of a month for them. They got the Bucks twice, the Nuggets, the Celtics, the Raptors, right? I'm looking at it like, and they got the Jazz. If they're going to have to go into April with the last. Now, remember in April now, after that schedule in March, they got the Thunder, Warriors, Jazz, and Blazers.
Oh.
And they're throwing the Clippers. That's the last five games of the season for them. If they don't have a five-game cushion in the eighth
five
spot
games.
Or wherever they are.
They ain't going to have five games.
They're not going. Then it's hard for me to believe that they're going to make it. It's hard to say that they're going to make up that ground. I mean, yeah, Sack could come back to him, but they're playing Sack. I think Sack's playing good hoop.
They are.
Them youngsters are balling out there, and the Lakers look like you don't know what Laker team you're gonna get. Number one, the game they won against Boston, everybody's excited, but it was a buzzer beater. It wasn't a beautiful game they played. It wasn't a pure game by them. They look like they kind of don't like each other, or because you don't see guys helping guys up off the floor. I just think that this thing is. I think the trade rumors definitely affected them, but more than that, also LeBron being out for them 17 games. I mean, you just that was an opportunity for them to at least say, "Hey, man, we can hold our own until he gets back." They weren't able to do that, and I think they put themselves so far behind the eight ball. They're gonna have to do some. I mean, they're gonna have to put together some 5, 6, 7 game win streaks here. With only 25 left, which is looking tough to do to me.
And, Eddie, that was my point I made to Chris, is that their margin for error because those guys couldn't hold the fort or at least play 500 during LeBron's absence. They didn't have to go off. All they had to do was hold, you know, play 500 during that time, and they lost some bad games. They lost to the Knicks at home. They lost to the Cavaliers. And last night, help me out on this, defensively, LeBron's not even playing defense. How can you expect the other guys to play, Eddie, if he doesn't play any defense?
I mean, you can't expect other guys to perform if you're the leader and you're not doing it on both sides. Now, granted, we understand that everybody's going to say that he's saving himself for the play. I don't think you have the luxury to save yourself for any. Playoff is not guaranteed. So you can't waste it. Like last night, a wasted opportunity.
Yes,
last night.
Against that team.
Yeah, that's a game you're supposed to win. You're supposed to get that. This is where you get your stuff together against teams like that, young team that has that aren't that disciplined, that are just out there playing and really looking towards the All-Star break. And I just don't – it's looking very, very tough for them to get it done. The only reason I wouldn't count them all the way out is because of LeBron James. That's the only reason. Somehow, you know, we've seen him do this before, will his teams into some winning streaks and things like that to be so good. But with 25 left, man, it's tough. It's looking real hard out there.
Now, another team you hear a lot about as far as not getting along, not having fun, guys not being happy, are the Boston Celtics. They had a big win over Philadelphia. They clearly own the Sixers, and it was without Kyrie Irving. They're playing tonight without Kyrie. They got Detroit, so you would think they're going to win that. They're 8-2 without Kyrie. Is it possible? Are they better without him?
You know what? I think, put it like this. I'm going to answer this without really giving you a definite answer, okay? You can't say that they're better without one of the best players in the league, right? Okay, we know that. But when you look at the overall play and how that team plays, I think they play better when he's not on the court. I think the Brad Stevens brand of basketball shines through them. I think they flourish in Brad Stevens brand of basketball. Now, when Kyrie is out there, it's a little different. It's sometimes ball watching, watching him do his thing one-on-one. Though before they lost to the Lakers, he was definitely balling out like for a good week up there, averaging almost like 10 assists a game, I want to say. But it just looks like they're more comfortable without him because they have to defer to him instead, and they're thinking about when do I go, when do I pick my spots, where when he's not or he's not there, everybody's just playing and having fun, and it looks like they're playing for each other and not trying to figure out, do I go now, when do I pick my spots? And, you know, you playing like that, anybody that's played the game, you can't play the game thinking. Even though you're thinking, you know, you can't be thinking about the next thing, all the time. It's more of a reactionary type of game. So I think that's so to answer your question, I think they play better team ball when he's not on the court, but are they a better team without him? No.
It's the iCup. We're joined by NBA champion Eddie House. And that's Rob and I have both said, look, they can be a really good team without Kyrie. But if they to win a championship,
I don't see it.
You need that type of superstar to hope to win a championship. That's kind of how we feel about it.
No doubt. And I mean, Rob, guess what? I don't see anybody else winning but the Warriors. I mean, that's the only thing. I think everybody can agree that the Warriors going to win it this year.
Yes.
Barring any
no
catastrophe
doubt.
Or some kind of injury.
And it might take
catastrophic injury.
Eddie, it might take two injuries. That's how deep they are.
Oh, true. Right. That's what I'm saying. Some kind of catastrophe, some unforeseen, unfortunate things that happened to the team. Besides that, there's no team that could beat them out there. I think they're just too loaded. I mean, and they're at every position they're loaded. It's not like one or two positions, and then, you know, their bench is solid. You know, you talk about Sean Livingston coming off the bench. I mean, how good is he? I mean, nobody talks about how good he is for that team. He's a mid-range assassin. There's no way that any team is going to beat him. So it doesn't matter what other teams are doing right now. It's about in the East. I think this is Toronto's year to come out the East. LeBron's finally gone.
We both picked Toronto before the season started.
Yeah,
I'm starting
to think Milwaukee. I mean, it's close. I think Toronto, Milwaukee, and Boston are all right there. I wouldn't be surprised if either of those three. Philly has a chance.
I'm sticking with Milwaukee. I mean, I'm sticking with Toronto.
No, that was my pick. You saw he's out. Maybe they're just calling it like a knee soreness, but he's out tonight with that.
Now let me.
But Milwaukee, I like them too.
Eddie, we saw so the Pelicans, they decide, of course, to hold on to AD. We all talked about that. We didn't think they were going to make a trade, especially with the Lakers, because there're going to be other suitors coming along. If you were the Knicks, we're doing a hypothetical, and you got the first pick, and Zion Williamson, if that's going to be the first overall pick, and most people believe he would be, would you trade him if you were the Knicks for AD? And I think that's a trade. Chris talked to some
good
people
question.
In New Orleans, and they said that would be somebody that they would be interested in. Would you make that trade if you were the Knicks and you knew you could maybe get another star to sign as a free agent?
Well, that's the key, knowing that you could secure that other star. Because AD by itself in New York is just not going to get it done.
No. Right.
It'll just be more of the same.
Right.
I agree with that.
They have a really good player. And they, like when Melo went, they had, but they have no pieces around him. They just can't get it done. You know, they're just not going to be that team. So they would have to basically have it in the bag that for sure some kind of verbal gentleman
right.
under the table type agreement, like, hey, man, I'm coming for sure if you guys are able to secure AD. That way you have to make that move if you're the Knicks. But if you don't have that security, you have to keep your number one pick in and go with box office. And right now Zion Williamson is box office.
Right.
And the Pelicans, of course, would definitely take that number one pick because of the box office guy that I just mentioned. So, it's a tricky situation. My belief, I thought that the Pelicans did the right thing by holding on to him because they do have the rest of this season and next year. So they could go into the summer with their phone lines open, their doors open, and listen to every offer that comes. They don't like any of those offers. They could wait to the next trade deadline and go to a team not in the West though. Go to a team in the East that feel like they're on the cusp of maybe doing something and winning it, and then make that deal, because then I think that way you'll be able to get them for you could get maximum return if you're dealing with a team that feel like they're in contention and they could actually give the Warriors a run for their money.
Eddie, you got two historic streaks going on. James Harden with the 30 straight games of 30 or more points.
And the team is 21-9 during that stretch.
And Russell Westbrook with the 10 straight triple-doubles, which he did something, I mean, we just never see done, which is break one of Wilt Chamberlain's records, you know, of 9 straight triple-doubles. We going to put you on the spot, man, and don't be riding the fence. Yeah, we know they're both great. They're both great streaks. Which one is more impressive?
Well, I will tell you this. I'm not going to ride the fence. They are both impressive in their own right. You talk about impressive on just pure scoring and how hard that is to do just to do it for 2, 3, 4 straight games, right? But for how long he's been doing it and all the buckets he's been getting, that's impressive in his own. But to pick one, you put me – on the spot to pick one.
Yes.
I have to pick what Russ is doing.
Wow.
We're sweeping under the rug the fact that this guy has averaged a triple-double for 2 straight seasons. And people were sitting there saying, it would never. I remember my father saying, man, Oscar Robertson, you the big O, averaged a triple-double. This will never be done again. This dude did it 2 years in a row and was on his way to the third. That's impressive in its own. I think what's happening is that people are saying, he's just stat stuffing. And his team is giving him them triple-doubles. Well, your team does give you triple doubles. When you make a pass, they got to make a shot for you to get an assist. You know, and rebounding is effort. You know, and they don't win if he doesn't have the triple double. Every triple double he's got, you look at their record.
They're 72-20 when he gets.
I'm just saying, though.
There you go.
I'm just saying that is super impressive. And think about it. He went back to back years in a triple double and didn't even get mentioned for MVP last year.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, look, he's made the triple-double like ho-hum. You know what I mean?
It's like another
triple-double. Like, think about that.
I know, but this is the
That's
only thing.
That's incredible.
Only thing,
I'm with you, Eddie.
That the only reason I picked the Harden streak is he's doing it by himself. Like, Paul George is having a great season for OKC.
But that's due to what Russ is setting him up to now.
No, I get that. I do. But to be 21-9 when CP3 –
CB's been back for almost half that.
But he's back now. But I'm just saying, at one point where this season was on the brink, if he didn't take on saying, I'm going to just do what I got to do to help us win, this season could have been over already.
Yeah, it could. And that's impressive in itself, how he was able to take that over. But we can't just sneeze at the fact that what Russ is doing is going to be 3 straight years of this triple-double.
Right.
Now, if it was so easy, right, we've always – I think everybody – I'm quite sure you said this, Rob, Chris, you said it, and everybody we know – that talks basketball said LeBron could average a triple-double if he wanted to, right? Well, he never has.
Right.
And
I'm like, dude, enough of the hypotheticals. You got to do it. You're right.
Yeah, right. You got to do it. And I mean, look at all the guys that have been getting big triple-doubles in our time. You talk about Magic. You talk about Jason Kidd. But they couldn't average it.
Right.
And think about the heat that Magic had. Magic didn't have to worry about rebounding because he was 6'9". He's going to get his 10 points. And he had all that heat around him, and he still didn't average a triple-double. Yeah. It just goes to show how hard it is. I know people might say the era was different. Basketball is the same. And the way you keep these stats ain't never changed. So he could have still been able to get a triple-double, but it's just, I mean, I don't know, man. I just
think
what Russ is doing. He's my favorite player to watch. Like, if there was somebody that you would ask me, who would you pull money out of your pocket to pay a ticket to go see play? And it would be Russell Westbrook.
And you know what? I second that from the standpoint he never cheats you. He plays hard every single night. And he wants to win. Right. I love watching him. I'm with you, Eddie.
All right, it's the great Eddie House. We always appreciate it, man. Thanks for the knowledge.
Yeah, man. Thank y'all, man. Have a good night.